mindfulness is a mindfulness of effort, which is an interesting one. Because usually when we think of effort, we think of grunt, or, you know, you got to push, or something. But in this case, mindfulness of effort is not that at all. It's kind of taking advantage of the natural state of mind that is awake and brings us back to the present moment. We all have it. We always come back. It's like when you're, the other day I was walking with one of the dogs, and of course my mind started to wander, and the sidewalk where we live is not always even, you know. So, of course, I tripped. And I was like, oh, whoops. I wasn't paying attention. So, you know, we have those kinds of messages that come up. And part of the reason that those messages come up when we're practicing is that we have a certain intention, right? You sit down to practice, or in your life altogether as a practitioner, you have a certain intention. I intend to meditate. I intend to work with my body, my breathing. That intention is actually quite powerful in a way, because that can bring you back when there's some noise, you know, for instance, if the heat comes on, or there's a car that goes by, you know, and you're sort of daydreaming, and that kind of cuts through the daydream, and then there's a kind of moment of what the Vijayavada call the gap. This is a moment of not much happening. It can feel a little, sometimes feels a little uncertain if you can really experience it, but it's a kind of openness, and then it reminds us to come back. So we kind of use those natural messages that come from the environment or from our intention to bring ourselves back. And our intention works as what the Vijayavada said, it works as what we call an early warning system. It's not goal-oriented, how many times can I come back? But we're using our intention, we're acknowledging our intention to come back. And we're not irritated if we've been fantasizing or dreaming or obsessing and suddenly something happens that brings us back. We welcome it. We go, oh, right. I'm not having a fight with so-and-so. I'm meditating. So the Vijayavada called this a kind of abstract watcher. But, you know, you let go of that as well. You know, sort of cling to whatever it is. So it's kind of based on the inspiration of the touch and go from the previous one. And a lot of the gentleness and sort of relaxation and kindness in this practice comes from not judging or being worried about whatever happens. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just be with whatever arises. Or it doesn't arrive. Sometimes you just kind of space out into like a dark place. It's not actually kind of relaxing. So effort is kind of using that natural state, that natural intention we have, and the messages that come to us, remind us, come back. So the fourth mindfulness is the mindfulness of mind. So mind is not a problem. Our thoughts and distraction, whatever, are necessary. Otherwise, we have no working basis, no way of experiencing any kind of contrast, right? If we're trying to get rid of thoughts, that's unrealistic. It's not based on our humanity. It's some kind of perfectionistic thing. So we're trying to find a balance between accuracy and freedom, right? Because in a sense, we do have a certain kind of discipline that we're trying to do. And at the same time, we're trying to do it in a particular atmosphere of allowing ourselves to just recognize what arises as a natural expression of ourselves. So when the Vajrayana talks about mindfulness of mind, he's not talking about the mindfulness of thoughts or anything like that. What he talks about in the talk on mindfulness of mind, for those of you who have read it, you know, he talks about that our mind has different tempos, I guess you could call it, or our minds have different ways of experiencing. And mindfulness of mind is just sort of noting that. That's what I got out of it anyway. It's like sometimes your mind, like that mountain that I described, sometimes your mind is like a lake. It's just very calm. That can happen for moments here and there. Sometimes our minds are like a river. You know, it just flows. Things just are. And I'm not talking about thoughts now. I'm just talking about the feeling of your mind. Sometimes it just feels like it's a flowing river. Or sometimes it feels like a babbling brook. You know, things are just... Sometimes our minds feel like a waterfall rushing. And that's, you know, kind of how we experience our thoughts then, right? Is if you're out running and then you come in to sit, your mind is gonna, you know, your energy is gonna be very kind of heightened, right? And you might feel that your mind is moving very fast or it has a lot of energy. On the other hand, if you practice when you're tired or you just got up. One of the things I love on retreat is practicing when I first get up in the morning and I'm still slightly dreamy. Mm-hmm. There's a very, very feeling of tremendous calm and relaxation. But sometimes there's even a kind of blankness. But these are just temporary experiences of mind in any given moment. And just recognizing that. So I know you've been sitting for a while. Why don't we take a short break? So you can use the restroom or get some tea. And then we can, if you'd like, we can form a circle and then we can discuss this or anything you'd like to ask. And I would basically like to hear from you what your experience is. I realize we didn't do any of these things very long, but you have a lot of experience with practice, so.